Welcome back, Mistakes listeners. This is Dave, and this is episode 71. This is also Parenting Mistakes. And if you're listening in today, we actually reviewed a show for once. It's not a topical episode. This is actually a review. I know you guys are kind of excited to have us do some reviews, so we did. This week, we watched Yo-Kai Watch, and you'll have to tune in and find out what's going on there. As you know, you can follow us on Twitter at Parent Mistakes. You can also like us on Facebook at Parenting Mistakes. And as always, you can email us at parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. And you know what this means. Sit back and enjoy the show.
So Dave, our lives as parents, not you and I, but my wife and I, our lives as parents are about to change significantly.
How
so? You know what it is?
How so?
Well, you know what it is.
I do. I have a good idea of what it is, but I don't know.
Just tease the audience anyway, right?
Maybe some things that I don't know that happens when it becomes your age.
Podcasting drama. No, we're the same age.
What? No,
you gotta stop.
You're like a month older than I am.
Oh yeah,
that's like looking into the future.
Much, yes, it is. No, in 13 days, my daughter will go to college.
Yes, 13 days. Good grief. Is that your countdown or her countdown?
Both. And it's not a – it's a strange countdown in a lot of ways because it's not – you know, you're excited, but at the same time, you're a little sad. You're sort of lamenting. So – are you going to be – well, let me back up. This could be a little quiz for Dave. Let's assume that your daughters go to college, and they go to college a reasonable distance. We're talking plane flight away. Are you going to be emotional? Are you going to be crying? Or are you going to say, well – that's the phase, and we've anticipated this, and here we go.
Probably emotional crying, right?
Yeah.
My guess is that they – I just have no idea what they'll do. I mean, I'm guessing that one of them will probably stay close to us, and the other one will, like, I need to go to NYU, right? So.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, for both of them, though, it'll be a big deal because – I can't even fathom the gap that they're going to leave in our lives when they go. It is so crazy. Now, of course, the advantage that you've had is that you've had years of them making life choices and separating themselves from your family, right?
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
like they're kind of building up for this. Like right now, if they were to go, there are so many dependencies upon me. Like, we have a very symbiotic relationship right now. Everything
Correct.
They need, they have to get kind of almost everything via me and my wife.
Correct.
So if they were to go, it would be really weird at this point because of like, wow, you'd just be ripping them out. But for you, then they feed themselves, they clothe themselves, they do all that stuff now.
Correct. Although it's interesting, we have talked to a number of parents because, you know, we have a lot of peers that are now in this boat. We've got our kids going off to college, all these kids that have grown up together and school and church and that sort of thing. And we have found that the reactions are different because some kids, for example, you know, we live in Southern California, and Southern Californians can sometimes tend to stay home a lot. Like they say, hey, we live in Southern California. Why would we need to go anywhere else? Because we've got everything here. So there's some kids that like have never flown before. They've never really been far away from home before. Hmm. There's some parents that, you know, they're sort of crying every other day anticipating this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Laura and I are sort of – I mean, we're kind of bummed. You know, we recognize that this chapter is ending and we're a little sad, but we're also excited and I don't know. It's an interesting experience to sort of say, because Meg asked me this, my youngest, last night. She said, so is it strange that your oldest daughter's going out to college? And I told her, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to feel exactly.
Yeah.
This is a new one, and this is the same thing that a lot of parents experience because you do everything new all the time. There's always something new. And then even if you do it, your next child may do it differently, which can sort of mess up your sense of how it went the first time.
Yeah, I also think that both you and Laura, being who you and Laura are very pragmatic about a lot of situations.
Yes.
Right? And for me, I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, I will definitely be emotional. I'll definitely be crying a lot. My wife, probably not so much. But, like, I was actually thinking of, like, an incident that happened this last year when Kaylee and I had been working on her just leaving my car and going into school by herself.
Correct.
And eventually I dropped her off this one morning, and she just got out of the car and ran into school, and I was like, oh, she's doing it on her own. Right? Like, I was watching her run off, and I could feel myself getting choked up. Right? Because it's kind of a milestone. She's no longer dependent upon me getting into the school doors anymore. It's a very small little piece of what you're talking about right now.
Well,
I would say this. I mean, what's interesting is I know that both you and Laura you have feelings. It's not like you don't.
Yes.
But I also think that there's part of you that probably likes to hide behind some of that pragmatism.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm secure in this. I don't have to really get emotional about it, right? It's just a part of life. We're moving on, you know?
Yeah, part of it, too, is I think we've always anticipated the possibility because, you know, we've talked a little bit about – we talked about this when we talked about debt and that sort of thing. We've always said to our kids, we like Christian colleges, and we think there's value in going away from home. That's it.
Sure.
That's the only thing we said to our kids, and then we said, you take that for what it's worth. You pick your college. And so – part of us, we both went away to school, and so we were used to that lifestyle. And we've also, as you said, we've traveled, you know, not a ton like internationally, but we've traveled to see family quite a bit. They've been on a lot of planes. We put our kids on planes by themselves, mm-hmm. you know, to go to camps and stuff like that. So that's something that they're used to. So.
Yeah, the other thing that I'm processing here as I'm processing your process, which is she's going to Calvin, but you're not going to have that Calvin experience okay. You can't recapture her experience of going to Calvin because you're not there.
Correct.
There's an element of like when she's – or they're in their high school or junior high or elementary school like, oh, I remember this. Oh, I'm kind of drawn into this. Oh, here I'm watching Cantori or whatever they have there, right? Like,
right.
You kind of – well, she's going to Calvin. She might call you, and you might get a little taste of that, but this is clearly something that you can't re-experience.
Correct.
But
part
of the excitement, too, is that she's going to go have that experience that you had. My desire is I'd love for Kaylee and Maddie to go to Eastern in a heartbeat because I'm like, I want them to have, like, the ultimate experience that I had, right?
Correct.
But I won't be able to, like, really hands-on have that experience except maybe come in and watch people doing silly things once I come visit the dorms from time to time, right?
Exactly.
Right? And she'll be saying things like, my parents are coming up, so stop being drunk.
Right? They don't do that sort of thing at Eastern, right? They always study.
Yeah.
So now that I have one child heading off to college, maybe I'll have more time to go for walks in the woods and search for bugs. And...
oh, here's the plan that Julie and I have. We're going to Hawaii pretty soon, and I have been trying to rent a car in Hawaii that's my dream car.
Okay.
And I want to get a Jeep Wrangler, right? And it's just the most wildly inappropriate car with two little children, right?
Yes, it is.
But hey,
it's a
Jeep Wrangler. We're in Hawaii. We've got the top down. I've got this romantic view. And I said to her this morning, look, I'll compromise in the Jeep Wrangler when we don't have children, when they're off to college and you and I go to Hawaii on our own. Can I get the Jeep Wrangler? And Jolene said yes.
Well,
so,
that's something to be excited
about. So these kids need to go to college as soon as they can. So now you can get your Jeep Wrangler is what I'm saying.
I'm excited. Right? Well, one other side note is that my youngest daughter and my wife are at this moment repainting the bedroom that the two girls have shared.
Oh, wow.
Emma is actually headed your way to Seattle for a few days with a girlfriend to day at my parents' and do a little sightseeing.
Yeah.
And the moment she's out the door, they're repainting the room. Getting ready for next year.
Yeah, just very pragmatic.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, is
yeah.
her stuff out of there now? Like,
most of it, yeah.
Yeah,
most
get
of it's
out,
out
of here.
Yeah, repainting the room, moving the furniture around.
I can guarantee you that once one of them goes to college, I'll be like, no, honey, don't touch the room.
Yes.
I can't take it. It's our baby girl.
Okay, so I tried to sneak a segue right by you a second ago, and you just steamrolled right over it because you went
deep. We're terrible at this. You know that.
No, I had it. Did you not hear what I said?
She's using her watch to go to Seattle?
No, I said, now that I have more I'm going to have more time.
Oh!
Because one of my kids is going to college, I can maybe go for walks in the woods looking for bugs, and I'll run into a vending machine.
That's right. So this is a special request from me, because we are reviewing Yo-Kai Watch, and I've actually watched quite a bit of Yo-Kai Watch, but I was dying to get Todd's impression on this show, because I think I needed a little parenting direction.
Okay,
so I've gushed about the show, but I need to analyze it. So hey, let's use the power of parenting mistakes to make it happen, right?
All right, so we should just review real fast. Depending on where you've picked up our podcast, we did a lot of reviews of kids' shows and movies when we first started, just talking about appropriateness of how it fits into parenting, if it's good for kids, age range, that sort of thing. And then we sort of changed directions, and we talked about parenting just in general, various topics, spanking and stuff like that. I don't know why I picked spanking as an example, but anyway. And so... because, again, as our podcast, we can jump back into a show every once in a while. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yo-Kai Watch.
Yo-Kai Watch, Season 1, Episode 1.
Which is on Netflix.
Yes.
We really I wish we could get money from Netflix, because we send them business, do we not?
Oh, totally. Of that, I have no doubt. Yes.
Okay, where do you want to start? This is always the fun thing, and this is just like parenting. You said you've watched this quite a bit. I have never heard of this before.
Right.
And I watched the pilot. I guess this is the pilot episode.
You know what? Again, in the analysis that I've done of Yo-Kai Watch, this is all a big plan. So let's talk about the coattails of what Pokemon was, right? So Pokemon in the 90s established this kind of like budding youth tween adventure in which they're searching out strange creatures in a Japanese landscape, okay? I don't know if you want... what is the Pokemon genre?
Are you talking game, or are you talking...
well, so Pokemon comes out, it's this anime, this cartoon, right, that establishes there's this kid, and he's looking for Pokemon, and it's this gigantic, massive hit, right?
Correct.
So 20 years later, there have been multiple, like Digimon, and there's been some other like Pokemon-type cartoons. And Yo-Kai Watch comes from this genre of, I guess, the genre of Pokemon, right? So when they created Yo-Kai Watch, and this is just kind of doing the history, and hey, I'm not searching the internet. I did my own research on it. In other words, we're not doing the classic Wikipedia.
Correct. Although I'm on Wikipedia right now looking at this. So
basically, Yo-Kai Watch is always intended to be a multimedia event. Video games, comic books, and a TV show. So when we talk about a pilot here, it's not like it was any kind of an experiment. It was like, there is going to be a TV show that lines up with the video game, that lines up with the comic book, right? So it's just, we're going to do a series of, you know, season one of Yo-Kai Watch. Here it comes, no matter what. We know it's going to be a hit. And in Japan, it is a massive, massive hit. Partly because it rides on the coattails of Pokemon, but also, it's interesting. And it's a little bit different. It's sort of like the same themes, but it's just a hair bit different.
Okay, so since I'm the newbie, should I tell you what I think I saw?
Please go ahead. Yeah. This is the analysis that I've been eager to hear, because I need to get away from my rose-tinted glasses of what Yo-Kai Watch is.
Okay, so far as I could tell, there's this kid, and he's got some friends, and they're searching for bugs in the woods, and he is, as his friend describes him, average. He's just very meh as a person. So he's searching in the woods. He comes across a vending machine attached to a tree or something.
Right.
Pulls out this, puts a quarter in, puts out this ball, and it opens up, and there's this ghost thing, this spirit, who somehow has magical powers, although it tells him that he's not a genie. And then he gives him this watch, which allows him to see other, is it other yokais?
So the spirits are named yokai, but yes. You know, from your very primitive perspective.
My very primitive perspective,
That is what's occurring, is that the watch enables Nate to see the, I want to say, spirit realm. But we're going to put the word spirit, I think that they would appropriately call it the yokai realm. Right, okay. In which I can now, because of this watch, I can now see yokai.
So his initial encounter with this ghost is he is underwhelmed. He doesn't seem to be that interested in the fact that he has somehow connected to an alternate universe. He wants his quarterback, and he just wants to find bugs so he can impress the girl.
That's right.
So then he goes home and discovers that his...
But whispers parents. All over him. Whispers like, I'm not leaving you behind, buddy.
Yeah.
Whispers the spirit that he pulls out of the ball.
Correct. And it's very clear from the beginning that this is a merchandising, franchising, naming concept because they put the character up on the screen and they put the little tag next to them and say, Whisper. Whisper. Make sure you write that down. Okay?
Hey, kids, this one's name is Whisper.
So, yes. the kid goes home, discovers his parents fighting, and discovers that there is this other yokai spirit that's basically, it's almost like a demon type of scenario, where there's an evil spirit hanging out.
I have a hard time with the term demon. What I'd rather say, because demon is pretty harsh, but yes, I've thought about that as well.
It is a spirit.
I think the appropriate term would be for us, gremlin. Something is, there's a fly in the ointment that's ruining my day.
Okay, but it is of a spiritual nature.
Yes.
And in this case, it's kind of like if sadness from, what was the movie?
The emotional
Inside
movie.
Out.
Inside Out, yeah.
If sadness from Inside Out was in a Jabba the Hutt body. And it's almost, the voice is almost exactly the same, too. Mm-hmm. So then he somehow summons Sadness's husband, who is Mr. Happy, and then he asks them to leave, and then they just go off together, and then his parents' fight is over.
Right.
And then later on, he has one more encounter with a dead cat.
Correct. Jibanyan.
Which... The cat feels bad because it walked into traffic, apparently.
Yes.
And its former owner thinks it's an idiot because
Correct.
It walked into traffic. So this cat feels compelled to continue, I don't know, like...
He's attacking traffic.
He's attacking traffic. Yeah. Almost
any truck like he sees, he attacks it.
So it's like a guilt complex. So he's trying to somehow re-earn the... love of his former owner, even though it's dead.
That is correct.
So, did I get all the...
That is Chibanyan's story, for sure.
Quandaries. Yes. And again, same thing. The cat is
frozen. The yokai.
It's frozen in slow motion. You know, we put a slide up on the screen.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's the name.
Here is Chibanyan. It is Chibanyan. Right? By the way, this is Chibanyan.
And so, as far as I can tell... He and his sidekick, Slimer, are going to be wandering around the countryside with his watch.
So here's the deal. I'll even improve the marketing for you, okay? Because it is all over, say, Target, right? So what you're witnessing is if he befriends Whisper and Whisper gives him a medal, that's when you're seeing the Whisper logo all over the place.
Right.
He can stick the medals into the yokai watch to basically summon them. Okay?
Okay.
So when he befriends Jibanyan and kind of breaks that loop of, oh, I just want to keep on hitting trucks. But the whole concept there is It makes sense, but it doesn't make sense, right?
Correct.
But he gets Jibanyan's medal at that point to basically have Jibanyan as a friend, but also to summon him when there's basically problems.
So as far as I can tell, the plot of this is going to be that he is going to wander around with Whisper and either battle other spirits or somehow be their therapist and put them back on a path to righteousness. Is that fair?
Collecting marketing medals the whole way.
Yes. And right, building up extra powers.
This week's medal is going to be right, so...
And they did allude to some evil force from in the past.
Yep.
That I assume will appear at some point.
Well, Whisper's story is never quite explained. So as time goes on, you kind of learn more about Whisper. Well, but Whisper's a weird one in that you don't require a watch to see him.
Okay.
But that's getting into the lore that people don't need to know. What did right. you think?
I was sufficiently underwhelmed.
Right on.
How about that?
Yeah. Just would you, in your opinion, it's like, ah, just another anime from Japan, and it's kind of got that Pokemon vibe.
Yeah, I don't... I can watch a show like this and say, okay, first of all, I did not grow up with this type of genre. I don't relate to this you know, style of animation.
Oh, right. Yeah, we certainly didn't grow up with it. I think it's maybe Star Blazers.
Star Blazers, that's
right,
about
that, it. That's what we had. Speed Racer.
Right, and that's fine. I don't worry about the animation as much because, again, the content is still fairly generic. You got a kid. He's got friends. He's interacting with creatures from another world. He's got parents. Standard sort of, you know, life scenario.
Parents are a little bit out of the picture as well. Like the classic Disney setup, like it's all about
right.
the youth of the city are going to save the world.
Right. He appears to have a lot of freedom and independence, and he can just sort of wander around and, you know, not a lot of accountability. But also not necessarily getting into a lot of mischief. You know, just sort of we're presented with a fairly vanilla character that seems to want to do, you know, mostly what we would call good in society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely trying to contribute the best way that he can.
I think I watched this, and from a standpoint of parenting, I sort of looked at it as it's like a lot of other shows. It's not amazing from a, you know, message standpoint. There is some very sort of generic, isn't it nice that my parents aren't fighting anymore messages, but it looks and feels very much like a very carefully packaged merchandising vehicle. In other words, you have a tie-in game, and again, I'm just guessing this, but
I think it's fascinating because of the amount of yokai that I have watched and your analysis. I think this is one of the hang-ups that we've always had is that we watch one snapshot of a show, one episode, and we don't totally get all the perspective. But what you're nailing right off the bat is certainly the marketing.
Yeah.
You're just nailing that. I'm like, totally. You know, yeah. Here's the setup for just this marketing multimedia machine.
Right. You're either selling video games or toys, or both, and that's fine. I mean, I can live with that. I get it. We've dealt with this with a lot of kids' shows where it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. You either have toys that you then create a show for, or you create a show, and then if it's popular, you create some toys.
Correct.
Or those are sort of done.
But this is actually totally done differently. This is like, again, it's got all the same Pokemon themes, and they're going to ride that. And, yeah, and so they had all the marketing locked in right off the bat, right?
Right.
And here's all the ways. Oh, and I forgot, the movies. They've had two movies.
Okay.
In fact, I'll say this. The second Yo-Kai Watch movie was the movie that took out Star Wars The Force Awakens in Japan. So Star Wars Force Awakens opens up that weekend. The next weekend, Yo-Kai Watch 2 opens up and just knocks Star Wars out of the park.
Okay.
Becomes more popular than Star Wars, right? Just because, you know, it's Japan, it kind of, you know, it's by their style, and it's a kids' show movie. It's sort of like Finding Dory. It's going to be a slam hit no matter what.
Okay. And I honestly, as a parent, and we've talked about this before, as I watched this, I was just kind of bored. Mm-hmm. I just didn't, there wasn't a lot there. And that's fine. It doesn't, I'm not the demographic. That's always a dilemma for parents to sort of say, if I am bored by a show, does that mean that I'm basically just giving my kid, you know, a jar of marshmallow cream and a spoon and saying, here is nothing for the next 30 minutes.
Right.
So it's not bad. I mean, the morality of it is, it's pretty clean. You know, it has some solid messages about reconciliation and about, you know, the cat not continuing to sort of, you know, beat itself
up.
Yeah,
Jabanyan's stuck in a cycle, and right. Basically there's a revelation that I don't have to live out the cycle and I can find new friends.
Right.
And Nate does that. So
right.
I will give you some yokai fan perspective, because I certainly am a fan. For sure. And I've watched way more episodes than just the one. Nate, his continued theme of him being average is one of the highlights of the show. He never becomes special, but he's never below average either. So he screws up all the time, which is great for kids. Like, the best part of him, there's nothing great about Nate.
Okay.
And if he interacts in school all the time, he'll never get an A on the test because he doesn't study.
Okay.
Right? He's not into studying. He's kind of like your average kid, right? Homework, I don't want to do it. I'd rather do this X, Y, and Z, right? The fact that he finds the most miraculous thing in the world and goes, right? It's very classic Nate. And then over time, he kind of grows to it. He has an arc, right? Oh, you know, I could actually be the Yokai Watch guy, right? The other thing that I like about the show overall is that in Pokemon, it's always a battle. There's always a battle, right? I'm going to throw my Pokemon out, and we're going to have this fight. In fact, that's all Pokemon Go is all about, except for the collection aspect. Of course, this has the collection aspect too. But you're right in that Nate does a lot of therapy with the yokai. And
yes.
He ends up getting a lot of medals, and he basically ends up a lot of trial and error. He's screwing up all the time. Hey, there's this yokai that's doing this weird thing, so I will counter it with this yokai, and he's wrong.
Okay.
Which is a lot of fun to watch. You never know exactly how it's going to play out. And they get into a lot of weird, zany hijinks. And the yokai do crazy things, right? And I would say that as the series progresses, there are some inappropriate things that do occur.
Okay.
That might... Basically what they do is they foster that kid's bathroom humor. There's a lot of yokai that end up tooting, right? There's one that toots a lot and is making all the kids toot. There's actually one that makes them pee a lot and is making all the kids pee. So
nice.
Nate has to come up with all sorts of different resolves to try to see. And again, what I like about that is that they're kind of dealing with kid haha stuff. It's always dealt with appropriately, even though it could be very inappropriate. It's not like The Day My Butt Went Psycho. Nothing like that. Dare I even say that cursed word on this show, or that phrase. But yeah, for me, it's a definite thumbs up, because for a child that is as high-spirited as my eldest one is, it's been great for her, because not saying that we've used this as a parenting tool, but we've said like, hey, is there a yokai in here bugging you? Is there a yokai influencing you to do some weird things, right? Kind of using it as a little bit of a parenting tool. I am not saying that this is a parenting tool show. Because overall, at the end of the day, yes, it is a marketing machine to get your kids to go to the store, get their yokai watch, and stick their medals in the watch. So, but I would give it a recommendation. It's not the greatest show on earth. It's No Little Lunch, dare I say that show.
That's right, No Little Lunch. And I would again reiterate, I'm not thumbs down. I'm just kind of meh.
And again, as a parent, I did not sit through every episode attentively watching, right? ooh, what's going to happen to Nate this day? I you know, I'm just kind of over the shoulder watching with my kids.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you can follow us on Twitter, Parent Mistakes. You can like us on Facebook, Parenting Mistakes. You can support our podcast on Patreon. You can shoot us an email at parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. Did I miss anything? We are on Podomatic, yep, iTunes, and YouTube. And on a completely different note, self-promotion, you can buy my new book.
Congratulations, man. That is so exciting.
Which is not about parenting. It's about business ethics.
It doesn't matter. It's still more of you, and I love that.
Oh, that's warm fuzzy. So if you go on Amazon and you search for Business Ethics, the Search for an Elusive Idea.
Yeah, or what, you can look under the New York Times bestseller list, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's number one. Not the search for Spock, the search for an elusive idea.
I tried. All right.
All right, my friend. I'm going to get back to making sure that the new room is painted correctly so that the oldest child can feel like we are saying goodbye in style.